sheep know the shepherd's voice. I'm not saying that as soon as I call my sheep, they all come running to me. I'm not saying that at all. But they do know. They're more aware of somebody that's come into the field that's not the person who cares for them. And it's about knowing. I mean, I don't have hundreds of sheep, but I know my sheep. Last week, when we were taking the sheep across the Kyle, across the water, I looked on, we were trying to coax, because if you can get the first or the second one to go into the water, the rest will follow. And here we were, kind of making the right noises and wafting your arms to try and get these sheep, encourage them on. And the whole picture that came to my head then was the analogy of, you know, in Hebrews about being the cheering on from heaven that cheers us on. And I thought to myself, I wonder if God is doing this for us and we just don't take the time to listen to the direction that he's really encouraging us on. And I wonder at times he must get exacerbated by us going off in all different directions that we fancy.
Welcome to Emerging Emmaus, and here we are again, and we have the joy of working together, Ruth and myself, Neil Urquhart, and we have Andrea Boys with us all the way from the northwest coast of Scotland. Now, Andrea, tell us about your parish. It's not very big, is it?
Yeah, it's just a tiny, no. Well, there are more sheep than humans most of the time in our parish, except in the season, which is getting busier. It's two small villages, Durness and Kinlochbervie, northwest coast, all the way from Loch Laxford, right up to Cape Wrath itself, and then right round to Loch Erable. So it's a good jaunt, and I would say, maybe I'm biased, but the most beautiful parish in the whole of the UK.
Whoa, that's a statement, isn't it?
Yeah.
I have to ask, how do you get from one end to the other?
Well, drive most of the time.
Ah, you do.
Yeah, drive. There's not much. Well, we've got a wee community bus, but yeah, you need to be able to drive.
So. And how many years have you been there? And because you were a city girl, were you not beforehand, or are you spent some time in the city?
Yeah, I was originally a community psychiatric nurse in Inverness for homeless, and then from there went into ministry training, and well, it started off I just wanted to I'd finished a degree and I thought, well, I've got into this studying, it would be good to do a wee theology degree, and just be able to help out the church with a wee Bible study. That was the plan. There was not go into ministry, become a minister. That was not my, but anyway, here we are. So Inverness, and then grew up in Motherwell. So went to school in Motherwell, as you'll probably hear from my accent. So city to rural. So originally when I was ordained down in Lark Hall in a priority area parish, and there for just shy of 5 years. And we did some great things, although it could be tough. We did some really great stuff down there together as a team, and had children and family workers and work clubs and all different things. And the church was really busy. And it was just, my husband had been wanting to leave Lark Hall for a while. And he's a care home manager at the time. And he kept bringing parish profiles to me, printing them off at work. He's left there now, so I can say that. Printing them off at work. And I would say, no. You know, they'd start with what a wonderful organ they had at their church building. And I was like, oh, no, that's not me. Robed choirs. Oh, that's no. Okay. So my friend said to me, Helen Brough, you might know Helen from Forge. Helen said to me, Andrea, just really pray a list. So this was the list that I prayed. My list was three things, really simple. Lord, don't give me anywhere that needs a church buildings programme, you know, like a building that needs renovation, because I just went through that in the place I was at. Please, Lord, don't take me anywhere with more than two churches. And please, Lord, don't take me anywhere rural. So here we are, not just rural, but remote rural, 7 years on with two church buildings, and both of which I have to say need work done to them. But one of them's now in the plan to go. So that's where I am at.
And you're so creative. I imagine, throughout your ministry and life, there's a creative spirit that clearly you have, and that God's able to encourage you with and utilize. And would you have imagined becoming a shepherdess when you arrived? Or have you always been interested in animals?
I had a horse for years, always, had dogs or chickens. So I've always had animals round about me, not in just domestic animals, apart for the horse lived outside. So when I came up here, I'll tell you what it was. I just really took to the sheep. I don't know what it was. First year, I went off. There was a new couple moved, new farm manager moved in at Durness, David. And I said to David, got to know him and his wife Hannah and their wee boy. And I said, oh, I'd love to come and help. Can I come and help? So it was at clipping time. I went, huge farm, lots of sheep. In fact, it's going to be in Landward in a few weeks' time. You'll see them crossing the Kyle. So David said, come down at clipping time. So I went down and all these different marks, I was doing helping with the rolling of the fleeces. And then I went over and I was helping one of the shepherds there, Janet, and she was doing the markings. Now the markings went on different places. And so I asked David, why the different markings? I couldn't quite understand. I got the K for Cowdall, but I didn't quite understand the markings. And he explained it's a real I suppose one of the few farms that has such hill sheep, which are genuine hill sheep, and the gathers are very long walks of hours and hours at a time. So David explained that sheep are hefted to the hill,
What does that
and
mean?
so I'm going to tell you
Oh,
so.
good, excellent.
Because I didn't know either, Ruth. And I said exactly that question. So what does that mean? So basically the sheep are grouped in the different hills or areas, and that's where they grow up. That's where they get to know that area. They're gathered there. So from generation to generation of sheep, they grow up on that hill in that area. And I just thought it was beautiful. And I said, isn't it like being hefted to God, to know the ways of Jesus, to know the grooves and the bumps and the, it just was this beautiful picture from generation to generation of being hefted to the mountain of God and following the ways of Jesus. So that kind of set my heart on fire. But I love the smell of sheep. Some people hate the smell. I love the smell of sheep. I love the smell of the barn, and I've just got, so from 7 years it's just kind of gradually I ended up I got our dog had died, I got another collie, and I thought, right, I'll get into the trialing, and because I used to go down, in fact, with Des and his friend came when they did the Alpha tour, and Des came to the Durness dog trials and with his tour bus. So the plan is that I will at some point trial my dogs, but I've been saying this now for 4 years. I've just not got the bravery yet, or the left and right quite down. So
It's
that's.
a gorgeous analogy that you're talking about there with hefting, and I'm just, I'm wondering, there's so many metaphors in the Bible about good shepherd, sheep, I mean, all of that, and so much of it is lost on us because, I live rurally and remotely, but it's not agriculture because, well, it's the land is not suitable for it, basically. And even within that, even if it was, it's a different language for me. So I'm wondering, in addition to the hefting, you must have insights with being in and around sheep that are in the Bible in ways that we don't have. And I'm just wondering, what would, like, one of them, apart from the hefting, is there one kind of insight that that God's spoken with you about, from the sheep and your time in and around them, that you just see the Bible in a different way because you can see it happening now?
Well, it's that, the shepherds, the sheep know the shepherd's voice. And I'm not saying that, as soon as I call my sheep, they all come running to me. I'm not saying that at all. But they do know, they're more aware of somebody that's come into the park or the field, that's not the person who cares for them. And it's about knowing. I mean, I don't have hundreds of sheep, but I know my sheep. And I know who's had a lamb and who's not had a lamb, and which one. I've got one that's called Dottie. I don't name them all, but I've got one that's called Dottie. She's got a black dot on her side, and Dottie always is the one that welcomes me at the gate. She always trots up and welcomes me at the gate. So her lamb's called Dash. So we've got Dottie and Dash. But yeah, so the analogy, knowing the shepherd's voice. But last week when we were taking the sheep along the Kyle and across, so it goes across the Kyle, across the water. It's an amazing thing to be part of and to see. But I looked on. We were trying to coax, because if you can get the first or the second one to go into the water, the rest will follow. And here we were, kind of making the whoa, right noises. I'll not do it, but making
Oh,
noises
please do.
and wafting your arms to try and get these sheep, encourage them on. And the whole picture that came to my head then was, how much it was that, it wasn't even a sheep analogy, but it was the analogy of, in Hebrews about being the cheering on from heaven that cheers us on. And I thought to myself, here are these sheep, and we were really, come on, move up. And I wonder if God, is doing this for us, and we just don't take the time to listen to the direction that he's, really encouraging us on. And I wonder at times he must get exacerbated by us in our, going off in all different directions that we fancy. So yeah.
Yeah, and you're a pastor of people, you're a shepherd of people as well, Andrea. And I'm sure there's, as Ruth's saying, analogies that you've been able to recognize. And I imagine from chatting to you, this has actually been a great road into connecting with people in the area.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I love my parish and the folk in the parish. They're just wonderful. So getting to know folk, I think, is, I mean, it's the whole part of ministry. If we're not relational, then what are we doing in ministry? Because it is about having conversations, and the amount of conversations I've had at the Fank about God, or strange conversations, questions that come up, as you're holding a lamb or dipping a sheep. So, yeah, I forgot what you said there, Neil.
Well, the technical word is incarnational. You're
Yes.
clearly grounded among the people. You're in an earthly spirituality. You're embracing culture there that's good, that's positive. It's not that the Holy Spirit does challenge cultures as well, but you're involved where people are at, and you're therefore accessible for people. People are able to ask those questions that you're talking about and make their comments, and you're in relationship with people. And so how's that been evolving and shaping your mission and ministry, not just you, but your congregations?
Sure. Well, I'm going to say this. I'm passionate about the gospel, and I love sheep and shepherding and being around other folk that croft. And so it's not that I want to make that really clear. It's not that I've kind of suddenly thought, oh, if I get to know some crofters, then that's not how it's went. It's just, that is the light that I love, being around folk that can talk about sheep too, and I learned so much. So I suppose how it's developed in different ways. So when we have a funeral in the village, men of a certain age who, have their crofts and their sheep, they would come in and give me a nod as they went in the door. That's changed. From How's the sheep? How's the lambing? I bought three blue faced Leicesters last year, and of course I got a bit of stick about that because it's all Cheviots up here. So at the last funeral it was, have you dug a hole for the sheep yet?
A
So
bit of banter.
a bit of answer and open conversation, and it's a way to have, share my pictures of God as well. In that shepherding and sheep, and but we've just been having the conversation because in our leadership team last night, because we got funding from Give Us Scotland for a prayer shed in Durness. So our church has to close in Durness, and the building to be disposed of, which I'm going to say infuriates me, not because I want to hold on to the building, but because I just see so much that we could do with that building that would make a sustainable place. But anyway, I'll talk about things that are going to happen. And the prayer shed, or the shed of blessing, as we think we're probably going to call it that, is going to be a place where we can have a bit of Crofter's Kirk, because that's going to be a new beginning. Hopefully get, teaching some crofting and farming skills, but also a space where tourists can just pop in and be welcome. We might have some wellies that are, if you forget your wellies on the way up to Durness or Kinlochbervie. We do a food bank in the church, so having some of that food bank store there in case people are running short or a bit tight. And just hopefully lots of active, fun God adventures coming out this shed. And I don't mean a great big agricultural shed, I mean a garage size shed. So that's one of the things.
Someone's given you that shed, have they? Someone given you that garage?
One of the crofters has said that he'll give us a land, not give us it, but sort of leases the land for £1 to put the shed on, and we've got funding for the shed, yeah. So that's where it's quite exciting. And then I've done four recordings and I've just got to edit them. I feel as if I'm back in lockdown. It gives me the shivers, the thought of editing them. But I'm going to start
Podcast.
a podcast, Crofter's Kirk. Yeah.
So tell us more about Crofter's Kirk, because I am intrigued. This it sounds like from what was maybe a path that you hoped wasn't going to happen in terms of disposing of the building, but you've somehow there's this birth of new life and this growth and hope that's coming through from it, and Crofter's Kirk. So tell us some more. What's Crofter's Kirk?
So Crofter's Kirk is the conversations podcast, the four that are ready, well, they're not ready to go once they're finished editing, are conversations with four people who have been involved either in, there's two crofters, and two folks that have, one's a farmer and one's in been in agriculture all his life. And so it's sharing their stories of crofting and farming. And some of them are very funny, and some of them are really poignant. So there's a mixture, sharing some of their top tips of what's the best piece of equipment to get, what's and then it's about faith. It's about where do you see God in the everyday when it's torrential rain out in the out wherever you're doing on the croftlets or the cows or the sheep or the land. How do you see God in that? How does your is your faith maintained because of the croft? Or so there's some wonderful folk that have said that they'll share their stories, and I'm really excited.
That sounds amazing. I think sharing of stories are so powerful, isn't it? When you're talking about how does where are you finding God in a rainy day, when actually for someone in an urban environment, actually a rainy day just means you put up the brolly and you can continue on. But I imagine for you and your people and amongst your parishes that actually it's far more serious if you're getting a heavy rain.
Continuously,
It's yeah. It must be. It must be
Especially
quite.
if you're working outside. I suppose anyone who's working outside, that can be pretty oppressive if you've got a week of rain and animals to look after, or just simply working outside. I'm just thinking builders, etc. So that's Crofter's Kirk. We got Danica, who is She lives up here, and she does wonderful graphics, and that's her job. And she volunteered to help me. She said, "I'd love to do a graphic." So she did a graphic of a sheep, and it was great. And I got back to her and I said, "Danica, I love it, but it's a bit of a soft sheep. I want a tough sheep." So it's got the Kinlochbervie, the yellow wellies, it's got the cross round its neck, and it's a sheep that looks as if it's going to take on anyone. So that's the logo for Crofters Kirk.
And you, so you've got other people that are involved from, I know you, and you'll be rallying people and connecting and softening people's hearts by the grace of God. And so tell us a few of the stories of people of faith in your community. One of the things that I've been aware of, I'm just talking about it in the last podcast about rural communities. I was going around asking, churches and church leaders how things are, and I was finding a kind of holy or unholy dis an unholy contentment that people were happy in their comfort zones and not willing to be stretched and not necessarily using the internet the way they used to use it in during COVID. But does any of that sound familiar, or are you
Absolutely.
finding, yeah?
Yeah, no, absolutely, Neil. Absolutely. I think that's the hard part when you see places of need, when you see opportunities, and you just want to really encourage your leadership, your Kirk session, come on, because you know what it's like when you work in a team where there's two or three of you who get together, whether it's I don't know, doing a super sweet or whether it's I was speaking to leadership last night about we have the Durness Highland Games. So there's about 1,000 folk I think come to that. I was chieftain last year of Durness Highland.
Yeah.
That was like huge privilege, absolutely huge privilege. So we've done a tent since I came here. The first year the ladies baked cakes. So if folks say, "Oh, but we're all old, we can't do," because that's often the cry of some congregation, "We're all old and we can't do it." And I firmly believe every person, no matter what the age, every person is able to take part in mission. And it's because every single person made in the beautiful image of God has got gifts to share. So it might be they make the best, I don't know, tray bake. That we can cut up and give away and give a blessing at the same time at the Durness tent. This year we're doing the Durness tent, but the Durness Games tent, and it all came out. We have a Bible study. Just finished Tommy McNeill's book,
Sleeping Giant.
Sleeping Giants.
Sleeping Giant.
Brilliant, brilliant. So,
Lovely.
we were. Just kind of having a laugh at the end of one of the Bible studies, and I said, "Oh my goodness, you can't believe the amount of tinned peas that's been delivered. With no tuna, with no meat, but we've got hundreds of tins of peas." And somebody said, "May the peas be with you." And I thought, do you know what? Maybe that's going to be the gift, one of the gifts from the tent of blessing at Durness
Peace of the
Games.
Lord Jesus Christ be with us
Peace of
all.
the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
Brilliant.
So, I mean, we'll be giving away as well. One of the things we'll be giving away is peas.
Lord provides. Brilliant.
Absolutely. And it'll, do you know, if it doesn't do anything, it'll make people smile.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. And again, it sounds like it's a story whereby you've taken something that could have been a source of irritation, but it's become this opportunity and pathway for blessing and just, the playfulness of Jesus, the joy or the peas, but he seems to be that actually that's a lot of what is going on in your ministry and who you're ministering with. And, how have you taken people with you on that journey of changing the tin of peas, the overabundance peas into this piece of what can be used well? How did you take people on that journey with you?
I think it's getting to know where folk are at and trying to encourage. Sometimes I'll use a sheep analogy. It's like trying to pull a sheep out of a ditch. At times it feels hard work. Other times they're running on ahead and saying, "Could we could do this?" It's just where people are at. We had Four new elders ordained, which is huge for us. Four new elders ordained just over Easter time. And they're really keen when we were meeting together to discuss eldership. Two of them are just really keen to be able to share God's word in the church. And so I just absolute joy of that, the blessing of that. Because if they're able to and willing to do that, then what does it free up for me to be able to maybe do something else? And I think it's just really encouraging people that they can do things. And it's about priorities as well. You know, where are our priorities in faith? And I think that's a question we always need to be asking one another. You know, where is God in our priorities? What's our priority about following Jesus?
Yes, what are the God ideas, not just the good ideas, the
That's right.
discernment, isn't it? And praying about that, maybe fasting and praying and really seeking the Lord and what's the best thing to do.
Apart from your peas at the Durness Gates, which I'm loving, I'm sorely tempted to come up and just have this can of peas because I think that's brilliant. What other hopes for the future have you got?
Well, we've got the prayer sheds and, you know, but there's the holiday clubs, there's the kind of ongoing summer adventure that we have here because there's 19,500 people and tourists that come through, especially Durness, but Durness and Kinlochbervie. So how are we going to support those who are so busy in the season? I'm looking at a time of stillness for folks that aren't in that genuine busyness, but also some of the activities for the kids to give parents and holidaymakers maybe a wee bit of space. So games on the beach, weather permitting, or games in the hall, and yeah. I think I struggle with the hopes for the future. So my hope, you know, I have this certainty that God is going to use me, and I'm going to try not to get emotional. God is going to use me no matter what I'm doing, whether I still remain a Church of Scotland minister or whether I don't know, changing beds. I don't know. Whatever God, I know that God will use me. And I think it's the last couple of years have been pretty tough with the whole presbytery planning, and I'm sure lots of folk can relate to that. And so I don't know what the future is. You know, I don't know where our home will be, whether it's going to be here. This ministry is to go to part time, and I had come to a place of peace with that because I thought, well, I'll do part time and then I'll just get a proper job. I'll be like Paul, be the tent maker, you know. So I don't know that's I hope. Well, you see, I don't hope because I have a certainty God's going to use me. My hope would
What it
be.
looks like, you're not sure.
What it looks like, I'm not sure. I would love for it to be here, but
How many sheep have you got?
do you know, you're not supposed to ask that question as like saying, how much money have you got in the bank?
Well, one of the stories I love, which I've got here, and let our listeners hear as well, is of you going to the to Lairg, to the sheep selling market, and you were just going to buy a few sheep or something like that. And how many did you come home with?
Nine, and I'll tell you, I came home with nine, and you know, I'd saved up to buy four sheep, but anyway, I'd come home with nine, and I had, you know, bought teas and coffees for the folk the folk that I'd went down with, friends that I'd went down with, and I also bought myself a jacket because there's always a wee stall at the sales, and I bought myself a jacket which I was assured was going cheap. Although I found it at half price in the actual place that sells it online. And so I came home, Jimmy works away, he's a nurse, and I phoned him and I said, darling, could you, I've overspent to the point, Neil, that I didn't have enough money to buy bread and milk in my account.
Oh
So I'm not allowed to buy anymore.
no. I think, well, I'm sure some of us can understand being caught up in that sort of moment, but what we're hearing is that you're truly invested in this community, in this area. You're truly called to
Oh.
this area. And I think that sounds like one of the sureties too. Though the Lord can work mysterious ways to lead us elsewhere, but that's what we're hearing. And he'll lead you step by step. God guides Satan hurries, but there's surely even some of our listeners here who'd be willing to invest in the sort of creative adventure that you are led into, that Seeds for Growth for one. I'm sure you've been thinking about that as well, that you're planting new worshiping communities. That's right down your street. You've done the Forge course,
Yeah.
you've been involved in this. There's the church is ripe and ready. The kingdom of God is ripe and ready for you, Andrea.
Amen.
Absolutely. So we're with you, we're praying with you and for you. I'm always excited when I hear what you're up to and what God's up to you and you through. And I know it's been painful and it is painful, but the Lord's working for sure. What about yourself, Ruth? What's your response to what you're hearing here?
I have had not many encounters with sheep, right? But one of them that I did have, which has always made me giggle, has I was cycling from one national park up to the other national park, right? So from Trossachs National Park up to Cairngorms National Park, and part of the route went up the Sustrans cycle pathway next to the A9. Now there's no sheep apparently on that bit, because on the left-hand side of the cycle pathway you've got the main rail line, and on the right hand side of you've got the road, and this is the dual carriageway section, and there's a bit of grass, and it's on a hillside, and there's a fence going along it, and I happened to pop out from wherever it was onto the Sustrans bit, and I'm going along. Honestly, out of nowhere these three sheep appeared, and so it looked like it was, I don't know if this is how they're organized, but it looked as though it was a mother and then a really youngish one and one that might have been in the middle. Oh, well, when you cycle behind sheep, what do? They run a bit faster. So they started pelting along this cycle lane, and I've got, well, I didn't have my head in my hands at the time because my hands were on the handlebars, but metaphorically my head was in my hands because I'm going, oh no, these sheep are going to, they're running up to the gap in the fence onto the A9, and I'm having visions of absolute carnage and going, oh goodness, at the same time praying away going, Lord, can I just shout at the sheep and get them to go off the road? And you're thinking, oh no. And then I heard this, you're going to have to chase the sheep, Ruth. And I thought, you're joking. So I had to cycle really fast to get ahead of the sheep. To come alongside them to get ahead of them. And so they then stopped running away from me and they diverted down to the grass. I was exhausted. I was like,
Dog Ruth, I'm hearing sheep dog Ruth, yeah.
I was a sheepdog,
No
Ruth.
way.
Yeah, so I'm going to take that, right? So one, yeah, exactly. What are you taking? I've obviously got the wrong type of call for sheep. But the other thing was this, it's just about that whole, sometimes you've got to work hard to get the sheep or to get ourselves or other people into the right place and away from danger or away just on a different pathway. And what really struck me with what you were saying was about, that verse in Hebrews with that great cloud of witnesses that are cheering us on, and you had your hands going up and driving the sheep across the Kyle as you were describing. I could just see it and just imagine it. And I want to encourage you that not only Neil and I, but I am certain that our Sanctuary First community and everyone who listens in with our Emerging Emmaus podcast, we are here and we're lifting up our hands for you, and we're going, yep, or whatever call it is that we need to make. And we'll work hard so that you can run safely and run freely into the paths and the ways of God, because it's such a delight to hear your encouraging stories and words and all of the things that God is doing, but especially your ability not just to take others, well, yes, to take others with you, but that ability to take what looks like the end or a frustration and annoyance,
Yeah.
and turn it into a channel of blessing. And that is so inspiring for all of us that we can take the overabundance can of peas and actually turn it into a giveaway of peace for Jesus. What a gift, Andrea. Thank you so much.
And maybe
Oh,
we
thank
have a
you.
chance to respond to this, but you could maybe tell us also where we're going to be able to listen to this podcast that you're going to share with us.
Now, I can't remember the platform it's called,
Well, you
but
tell us afterwards and
I'll
we'll
tell you
post it and
afterwards.
you tell us and
That's
we'll post it.
I the today I learned a new I mean I think I'm okay with tech, but then there's something new to learn. I mean, today, this is a very simple thing. I had to reply to your message, Neil, and I learned, and one of the shepherds that was up, and she's clipping Annie B. I said, "Oh, I need to reply, but I've no signal. I can't get a signal here." And she says, "It's okay. I'll hotspot you on my phone." Revolutionary. And so simple. So I
Good.
felt about 100 years of age today.
Good. Well, thanks so much for joining us, Andrea. You're a big star in our eyes, and
Oh.
we look forward to hearing what God's continuing to do in and through you.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for joining us, and thanks everybody for joining us on Emerging Emmaus. I think we've got a summer break, where we'll be coming back refreshed later. In a number of weeks' time, and look forward to getting back on track with Emerging Emmaus. So, have a fantastic summer, friends.
Yes, rest well and be blessed. Thank you.
Hopefully, we'll see you in Kinloch Bearvey and Durness Church sometime.
Yeah, well, we've been
Bike
several times, of course, and
on
I
the
love it.
bike.
Great, exactly.
Always a
Cycling.
spare room, you know that.
New cycling country for sure, as well as sheep. Yeah, brilliant. Blessings, everybody. In your neighbourhood, trudge two dumped Jesus friends, drowning before dawning, moving through a maze of misery to an amazing Emmaus encounter. Emerging Emmaus.
Good grief, our dream is dead. Going home instead, comfort of my bed.
Good grief, the pain. Hope hard to sustain. Love down the drain.
Good grief, where have you been? What we've seen? Blown to smithereens.
Good grief, how our hearts burned, our minds turned, all we learned.
Good grief, don't go away. Come in to stay. You've shown the way.
Good grief, how he broke the bread with hands that bled, then disappeared.
Good grief, Jesus alive? No need to strive. Chance to thrive. Jesus alive.
Good grief, no time to waste. Now we have a taste to Jerusalem with haste.
Emerging Emmaus, a well-kent lament echoes through the years. How long? How long? Good as is the grieving process, may it be a means to access visions and dreams of Christ's kingdom come. Emmaus, emerge from the gloom. Come, Holy Spirit, come. So for future podcasts, join us via the Sanctuary First website, Facebook page and app, and also via Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Come on, tune in.